Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Dope Black Dad podcast. My name is Marvin Harrison. We have still co-opted the studios. We are not leaving. This is the third hour of us, or third installment that we've got from us. They're currently outside the door doing the wrap-up sign. We are ignoring them because we are black and we can do what we want in Black History Month, which starts in 2 days.
Dope Black Dads, we do what we want. Dope Black Dads, we do what we want.
That was really funny because we did that and immediately said not really, because we all have high levels of accountability and we are responsible to families and children and partners. So let's not pretend. But thank you so much for coming back and joining us again. I'm here again with Leslie Darwood and Romantha. How are you now? How are you feeling?
Yeah, really good, actually.
I don't know, we're all wearing green. Darwood technically had green on. Yeah, before
and took it off because you said it looked like a high-vis.
It did look a little bit, though. The way you had it around your neck looked like he was wearing a high-vis vest. And yeah. I didn't want people to
he
feel
needs
like
to, like, tie it in a bird style.
Yeah, you had it around your neck last time.
Yeah, because it just made me too hot.
Oh, okay, cool.
He's already fair hot. Enough.
Well, look, we don't have long. We have a 20-minute episode and we're on timers. So I want to be able to ask this amazing question. But I think, Ro, you asked it better. What was the question that you had that you wanted to share with us?
I think...
And what the thinking behind it as well, I'd love to know.
The question was, is love enough? But I think we have to take a few steps back first. Mm. And in a sentence or two, define love for ourselves. How do we define love? And then the question, how do we make love last? Do we romanticize love? I heard you have a particularly strong opinion about romantic love earlier, Leslie. And then the other one is, how do we make it last?
So which one are we going with first?
Let's define it.
Because we've got 20
make
minutes.
It last forever and ever.
Oh, please. Please don't make Marvin's dream come true.
I want a Dope Black Choir.
Oh, that would be so sick.
I don't even care if we can sing or not.
That would be so sick.
Harmonizing.
Because you've been listening to that Kanye album.
Yeah.
For hours.
All right, so I would define love as a mirror of myself. And I've only really realized that as I got older, that every relationship that I've been in romantically have shown me more about myself than it has about the other person. Mm. How I conduct myself, how I react, how I extend myself, how I take parts of myself and put them, like hide them. So every part of every stage of my life where I've been in, whether it was my teenage years or early 20s, teenage years, you can't really call that love because you're just trying to figure it out, how your body works. And how all of these hormones work that you're feeling. So you don't know what to do with that. And in your 20s, you sort of figure it out. You're fumbling. And then you get to your 30s and you're like, it feels like I have an idea. I know there's a lot more to discover. I am in my 30s. And I know there's at least 2 decades of still self-discovery to happen. And yeah, I think it has just been a great mirror to where I am in my life and how open I am to it. So that's my definition of love. Mm. A true reflection of where I am in my life.
How about you, Darwood?
I actually don't know what love is, but in terms of
being able to articulate what it is. And that, but even when you said about it mirroring you, I'm just like, yeah, if you, your spirit's from God, then God is love, then is that what love is? I don't know. So we are love.
In it. There you go.
I don't know what it is, but I do believe everything feels it. So plants have a version of love that they also can't
articulate.
But what
is it for you? You're not going to get away with this.
What is it for me?
Plants and spirits.
There's so many different versions of it that I experience. So the love I have for my family, the love I have for friends, the love.
But what is it? If you could put it into a word?
Into a word. I can't.
You can't.
I can't.
A feeling?
I feel like that's
In fact, the only... If I was to put love into a word, it would be love. But then you'd ask me to explain what love is, and I'd
get it.
So we're back.
I guess sometimes it's zero. Maybe easier to describe what love felt like when you've lost love.
When I've been heartbroken, it felt like my left arm was ripped off. Like literally.
That's very specific.
Yeah, it did. It literally. It felt like my left arm had gone, and every waking moment, my brain would find this person that was missing, and I didn't like it so much. To the point that it's kind of, this is where I believe, because women have been taught how to experience love from a younger age, and men, we were not taught so much.
What makes you think that we were taught to experience it?
Not experience it. You talk about it with other women, it's your,
we aspire to it.
You aspire to it. It's programmed, the whole fairy tale story. Men are not on that. We just want to play football. So,
what about you, Liz?
Well, it's interesting you say that about, you know, women being like more able, you know, able to express the emotion of love and understand it. I don't know if us as black women have been in that sense.
Since I've been heartbroken, I have not wanted to ever experience being in love again.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's weird.
You loved deeply.
You
were in love.
I was in love, but I was like, yeah, I didn't like who I was when I was in love. I didn't like just being that vulnerable. Like, and whatnot. I remember the weirdest thing that's left me. Every time I hold a woman's hand, I would hold it in a masculine way. But when I was in love, I wouldn't. I would hold it in... So, I don't know how to explain it.
You lead.
I would lead. So, my hand would be over her hand.
Protection. But
when I was in love, it was the other way round.
Yeah.
And that, and like, I remember at the time thinking, what kind of nonsense is this? Like, I don't want to do this, but this feels really comfortable. So, yeah.
Oh, I guess for me, being in love is about being your true self, being accepted.
Is that being loved?
Yeah, you can be your true self without judgment. So, in other words, you're being completely vulnerable with who you are as a person, and knowing that person who is with you understands. And if they don't fully understand, they are trying to understand. They're accommodating who you are, who you're trying to become, who you are at your core. So you feel held, supported, and it gives you a sense of freedom to really be free.
You, Mo?
Yeah, it was really good when you talked about you didn't like who you were when you were in love, and I realized. That the vulnerability that I have to be open to when you're in love with someone can make you inconsistent and can make you do things that your logical mind would say I would never do. And I didn't like that. And I felt like I used to chase those. I've been in relationships where I've chased the feeling of being understood, or chased the feeling of acceptance, or chased the feeling of having a loving experience. And in the chasing is where my inconsistencies would show up. Because you start doing weird things. You start like trying to manipulate things. Like, if I do this for you, would you become loving to me if I give you this iPhone? Or if I turn up to your thing, would you come to mine? Because that's what love looks like to me. And I just remember like not really being as powerful.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't about just how I loved. It was like the loving situation I was in. There wasn't there a connection on our values while being loving. And I think love language is probably a better way of putting it. If your love language is aligned, when you love, they receive it. And when they give it, you understand it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so for me, love is an experience. Mm. And I feel like at any moment, like right now, this is a loving experience. I feel it.
Mm.
And if it didn't, and if it shifted, I would be present to it. And then I can, if I were in love and I can correct you, I can be like, Leslie, I feel like what you just did wasn't loving. And in that moment, if you hear me and take a moment to pause, reflect, and then invite yourself back into my life, that is love to me.
Absolutely.
It's not that you do everything right and perfect, but it's like, if you are you reachable? Are you open to me telling you that what you're doing isn't loving to me, and you try to adjust yourself and come back? That for me is what love is. So falling out of love is the desire to no longer do that. Like, it's just you're not open to it. And then that can be just observed and reflected upon. Like, I feel like my any relationship I've had historically, the point where I've said it's not going to work is when I realize that the loving experience is no longer available to me for whatever reason. It just isn't. And rather than keep offering iPhones and trips and opportunities and things that you think are going to help, you just accept what the reality is. And it's so funny because my mum is an amazing barometer of like witnessing love. And so when the love is there, she can point it to me and say that what you've got right now is a beautiful experience. But she's also been the one on multiple occasions to turn around and say, do you know what, Marvin? This isn't a loving experience. I don't understand what you see. So I hope you're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, she's one of those. So you're like, oh, shit. Right. You got me. So yeah, that for me has been my best definition is love is an experience.
What was the moment you knew I'm in trouble. I'm in love.
Darwood, you sound like you were there.
Ignoring red flags. Like a red flag came up and I was like, oh, okay.
Another one came up, okay. So you're saying at the time you knew it was a red flag?
Yeah, 100%. I was like, oh, I don't like that. And then I just ignored it. And then I remember I was actually on stage with my band and she was in the audience and I hadn't admitted it to myself, but I said it to her. So I hadn't admitted it to myself, but I said it to her. Yeah, it's love, innit? And she received it. And that,
you said it on stage.
I said it
while on stage.
Yeah,
because grand display of love, huh?
It weren't a grand display. That's the thing. I know you don't know me as well as a thing, but literally, there are many a moment where my instincts kick in and I just do, without thinking. I think it's when I'm at my best, when I'm not thinking or overthinking or having fear, lead or worrying about that. That's when I go, and I looked at her and I said it. And that was that.
Wow.
Was that also the moment you knew you were in love?
I think I accepted it then.
Mm.
But I hadn't even had a discussion. And that.
So
but
you hadn't told her? It was just... So did you say from the stage,
no, with me and her, talking to myself. Because the question was, when did you know you was in trouble? Mm. But I hadn't even spoke to myself and that. But from growing up, like, I used to fall in love so easy when I was a kid. Like, I would see a girl. Like, I remember when I was living in Nigeria, this girl called Ronke. If you're out there, Ronke, and you ever get to hear this and that, everybody knew that I really liked her. She knew that I really liked her. I just couldn't tell her. I just could not, like, couldn't bring myself. Then, like, I would take the long way home to walk past their house and whatnot, in the hopes of seeing her. Did this for two whole years. Finally saw her outside her house on a Friday. I remember this. And I went, oh, you're right. And I ran off. And then see, this is me in primary school and whatnot. So she was so confused because she was ready for the conversation. And
you have one of those, Mom?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
One of those, when you like someone and it's so deep in your head that you don't actually verbalize it in a way that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's not usable to the other person, yep. but it's so overwhelming inside. Yep. You're just there like,
yep.
I like you very much. I think I'd ask someone, would you be my girlfriend, please?
please.
No, but do you understand? Yeah. That's how it comes out. I didn't even see that you got to that stage. I didn't even get to that stage.
No, but that stage took maybe 6 weeks, the whole 6 weeks holiday.
Yeah.
I was hanging out with her. And then I think she knew by week three, but by week six in my head, it was like, if I get the words out, it will definitely happen. Yeah. And I remember I remember knocking on her door and her sister opened the door. And then I was like, oh, is she here? Can I talk to her? And then I was just sweating and I was stuttering all sorts. She came downstairs and I was just like, I really want to talk to you. Then I went on a monologue.
Yeah.
And then I went and said, Dad, would you be my girlfriend, please? And she's like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh no.
See, was that your first heartbreak? It's
the yeah, I think it was.
How soon did you jump back on the horse? It took ages.
No, it took 2 years.
See?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's heartbreak.
No one talks to us about rejection as men.
Oh, that's
like,
what it is, isn't it?
Rejection.
It was so big that I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. Like I just couldn't understand because all the cues in my head that I thought had to exist.
And you've worked so hard to say the thing.
And then I didn't actually think about what her reality was. Mm. And she didn't want a guy that needed 6 weeks to say that and was sweating and stuttering and doing 9-minute monologues.
She didn't know where it was coming from.
And also, we were 16, so no one cool is doing that. You're just like, yo, you're my girl now, or some mad thing like that. That's probably what was happening.
This is another thing and whatnot. Like, that's that masculine club over the head analogy approach and whatnot, like, and as a kid I was never on that approach.
No,
like I remember just meeting the guys that we met each other through and whatnot. They'd be like, oh, Darwood, you look so coarse, but you're not really coarse, are you? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, you I would so never coarse. Approach a girl no. like yeah. angry like
yeah, yeah.
On it, never. Like, because they were coarse with girls. I was not coarse with girls. Never. Like, never. I was just never. Like, yeah, I'm not on it.
Do you know
like,
what? Yeah, I often get mandingoized. That's even a word. Yeah.
Mandingo-ized.
If you're over, because you're over six foot.
Yeah, 100%.
And you got a frame, you're just like, you're long dick Harry. Yeah. And you just walk around long dick and everything.
100%. Oh, wow. 100%. I watch girls. When Marvin walks into a room, and I got some other 6 foot tall guys like that are friends. When they walk into a room, I watch how women change. Like, there's something inbred in you young ladies that you sort of respond to these things. You do.
Excuse but let me, because I don't want to get into that.
Let's not. But it does exist.
How can you say that? Oh, no.
No, I don't. So I think it's interesting because, like, I see myself as a sapiosexual. So there's levels of things that have to happen in the mind before it's actually something that I want to do.
Yeah. That has nothing to do with how you are received. That's what he's talking
about. But that's my point. So imagine in my head, whatever you think I'm doing, until you've got me here, you don't have me.
Right.
And if nobody ever thinks that you have anything up here, you're just tall and it's like, what's that saying? You're like, it's actually disgusting. So it's a mad thing to say to someone where it's like, that slightly disgusts me, what you've just done.
Yeah. Mm.
Because you didn't respect anything up here.
Yeah.
And I need that to
activate.
Is it
emasculating?
It's not emasculating because I don't feel less of a man. What I feel is just, that's dead. Like, that's not it. And then you try to explain it and they so don't believe you. Mm. Like, they would never believe that how you show up is needs more than just a vagina. Like, just open it up and it's like, and I'm like, nah, I'm cool.
And then, so now that we know it's not a problem for Marvin to find love, is it difficult? is it difficult to find love? I mean, there's social media today. There's a new app every other day.
I think it's difficult to find compatibility.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yes, it just is.
When was the last time you found compatibility? When was the last time you saw someone you was like, you know what, you see you, yeah? When was the last time you had a vision?
Every time I step out my house.
Let's do mentally.
Mentally, it's been a while.
Mm.
It's been a while.
What's the barrier for you? You said you were in love, you lost your left arm.
Yeah.
You're not back in the game.
I'm not, but you know what it is I'm a man, I still have needs.
Okay,
cool. And poor Jesus Christ, God made black women so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
So how do you balance that? So this is actually, because we have women here, this is good.
Yeah.
we know women, there are some women who fundamentally just have needs and they want to participate in that.
I can't meet
Hold
them.
Hold on a second.
Please introduce me to them right now I can get over my shit.
We know that they exist, yeah. That it's just about physicality and we all need a release.
I don't believe
world.
They exist. Simplified, this is some unicorn people you're talking about.
How would you say is the appropriate way to go about that? I think men often want something simple, feel like they have to do cartwheels, then do cartwheels and cartwheel themselves out of something simple. Mm-hmm. So how would you suggest, if you just want a situation with a guy where it's much simpler, or are you just not in that space?
I got to forewarn you, this is the most intense listen that I'm going to do all day.
I think that men just need to be upfront.
I think men get so far with honesty. So I think because men have this idea of women and, they're, precious, fragile, we have to, and they have feelings. And they, mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We do mm-hmm. have all of those things. But sometimes our vibrator and our dildo and whatever we use is just not enough. We want a pair of arms and someone to wake up to in the morning, but also leave because I have work. Mm-hmm. So be honest. And on the apps, it's so easy because you can say DTF. Everyone knows what that is. And you could be really honest about your intentions and who you are. But DTF...
You've just gone to the apps. I don't know whether it's confidence or anything, but I don't think I represent myself online.
Very well.
Yeah, like
find a woman to help you. We're really good at
that. Yeah, just find a wing woman.
But I can tell you, casual relationships in person, finding those in person is becoming more difficult for people to find because of like the previous podcast we spoke about, like how men present themselves and the things in our head. So if I see that you're non-threatening, I know what you want and I know what I want. And then you get to the conversation of, are we compatible sexually or physically? Or, do you have bad breath? Can you dress? All of that stuff. We can get to that once we meet. But before we meet, there's a qualifier. We both just want something casual. So you're not sitting there being pretentious and promising this person the world, but all you want is for them to be in your bed. It's stealing.
100%.
It's stealing.
Yes. Don't ever con a woman out of her knickers.
It's so interesting though, because I do feel like honesty has the other side, because there's times where I've just genuinely be honest, like I don't have capacity for more. And the offense that is taken from the idea that how dare you believe that I'm just like, look, I'm just telling you where I'm at.
That is still safer.
Yeah, it's 100% safer, but the shaming of authenticity is still a problem though. It's like, and the reason why I think men have tried to shape themselves to what they think it's going to be is because of the response they've got with their honesty. And it's just like, I'm not saying that they're like perfect, but I do feel like sometimes being honest and saying, actually, this is what I'm comfortable in, is shame still. And I don't think it's normally accepted. Like when you go to New York, there's a completely different context to your honesty. Like when I was in New York, I was getting like such clear propositions of just like, this is where I'm happy to be in. So unless you're going to do this and become my forever husband, this is what I'm comfortable for. And I have this much time and then that's it. So you're like, wow,
that's how
you don't get that in England.
That's how I conduct myself. And I come from a totally different space. It's Johannesburg. Yeah, it's a big city. It's a hustle and bustle. So even in sex and romance, it's a hustle and bustle for that kind of thing. People, there's PR behind what you need. Show people what you want and go get it. That's what it is.
I think definitely it's a different generation, definitely operate on that way. But I think like my generation, they're not comfortable with being that direct. Well, they're certainly not as comfortable. They are now realizing that not being more vulnerable and putting yourself out there and actually asking for what you want is going to get you what you want. There's no man that's going to come over to you and kind of like get into your head and find out and figure it all out for you. You have to be participant in that kind of conversation about what your needs are. But it's a very interesting conversation. I often look at life like this, like, you have seasons in your life, like, you might meet somebody, that person may start off as somebody who you really think is going to be the one. But then you realize that actually this may be just a season in your life. Accept that. Like, we're going to have a good time. I don't see you as my long-time partner. Yeah. And I don't think you're going to be my husband or whatever. But we can still have a good time, respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, we know it's not going to go any deeper than that.
Mm. This
and
brings us to the closing. Very, very short closing.
Okay.
Brings us to, is love overrated? is finding romantic love overrated? If we can find a casual partner, and if we can find platonic friends to have a different kind of love, and a sexual partner that feeds into that part, and your family that feeds into the other part, is romantic love overrated?
I would say yes, from the stance of, I think it's incredibly powerful if you find it. I don't feel like it should be a catastrophe if you don't. And I think, like, when I do men's circle, we have this thing where we do the six types of intimacies, and we ask men to fill in where do they get that type of intimacy from. So it's like creative, experiential, spiritual, physical, sexual. There's all these different types of intimacies. And you notice that whenever you find gaps, that's what that sort of yearning is, to go out there and like connect with people. Because sometimes men don't want sex, they wanted a hug. And they realize the only way to get a hug was to have sex. Mm-hmm. And in that moment afterwards, they get some skin-to-skin closeness, some sort of care, some sort of softness in their day. And so masking creates this sort of other economy and this sort of inauthentic way of connecting with people. So I think it's incredibly important and powerful when it's real. And I think it's really damaging when it's not. So authenticity, as you mentioned, and honesty is so, so important. And allowing whatever happens afterwards just to happen and not try to like curate the response from people to your liking.
Yeah.
Accept it if you're not aligned.
Yeah. I think romantic love is, it's like the rocket fuel at the beginning of any relationship. And, you know, you go through the chemical imbalances, you know, you're in that euphoria, right? And then eventually that dies down, and then that romantic love becomes your day-to-day existence. Mm. Now, that has waves, so you've got peaks and you've got troughs. Now, if the romantic love is what you're depending on in terms of your relationship and sustainability within your relationship, you're going to be in trouble, because every time there's a dip in that romantic kind of date, you know, what are you going to do? So my whole thing is about, like, romantic love is there, it's a baseline, but what about the love that you have with each other, that you can actually build something together, building something together and having a commonality where you're either both evolving together within the relationship and supporting each other in their separate journeys, or if you may be building together and doing something. I think that's probably the more sustainable, more powerful thing long term than depending on strictly romantic love, because romantic love, if that's what you're gauging your whole relationship on, you're going to be in trouble. Because what happens when you're in your dip?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, are you then going to think you're not in love, this relationship's failing?
Yeah.
When actually you've got the other side of things, you're building some shit together. Do you know what I mean? Like, if so, that for me is the most important part in any relationship. Like, romantic, it's not enough, I think, for me.
Mm.
For me personally.
Nice.
Yeah. See, I think, Ro, I totally agree with everything you said. I think romantic love is not overrated, it's misunderstood. And because it's been programmed, unfortunately, into our heads of what it should look like, that's what people think they aspire to. But because you are a unique human being, having a unique experience with another unique human being, it will be whatever your personalities and your traumas and whatever and upbringing have conjured together when your personalities come together. As you said, the romantic or euphoric love is just to bring people together so that we can procreate and survive as a human race. But beyond that, maybe it needs to be examined what that actually means.
Yeah.
And that, like, I don't think it's in everybody's constitution to practice monogamy for the rest of their lives. Like,
oh gosh, that's a whole other podcast.
That's an interesting.
No, we definitely need to go down there one day for sure. Brilliant, Darwin. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. My name's been Marvin Harrison. We've been joined by Leslie, Darwin, and Ramantha. Thank you all for coming and spending time and sharing your thoughts and being so open. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast on YouTube as well as on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please also make sure you follow us on Instagram as well as on TikTok and Twitter, actually. But also just ensure that if you want to email us something and share any of your views or observations that you've had, please email hello@dopeblack.org. My name's been Marvin Harrison. Make sure you follow everybody. Where can everyone find you though? That's really important.
How well, I'm on Instagram, Leslie McKinley.
Yeah. Nice. Double Grace's Black Jesus across all platforms.
Yeah. The Real Roman on Instagram.
The Real Roman. Brilliant. Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll do this again, I'm sure.
Yes, please.
Mm.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.